Thursday, May 4th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Lemons. Argentine President Macri visited the White House April 27th and asked Trump to open the U.S. market to Argentine lemons. The market had been closed for 16 years because of disease concerns, but work had been done to open the market before Trump. Donald told Macri that he was favorably disposed toward opening our market to Argentine lemons, and the USDA will lift the ban May 26th. Why was Donald favorably disposed toward Argentine lemons? First off, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue had not been confirmed yet as Ag Secretary, but if he had been, he'd have rolled the map of the U.S. out in the Oval Office like he did to explain the impact of NAFTA. He would have told the president that 90% of lemons grown in the United States are produced in California. California was most of the reason Donald lost the popular vote by 3 million votes. The California citrus industry was reportedly livid over the decision to import Argentine lemons, but hey, they didn't vote for him. He owes them nothing, and believe me, he keeps score. One thing on Argentina's side is that the U.S. runs a trade surplus with the country, $5.4 billion in 2015. Lemon imports won't impact it all that much. Something that will impact trade with Argentina a great deal more is the anti-dumping study of biodiesel imports that the administration will use to block soy oil imports. Argentina exported 2 million metric tons of soy oil to the United States in 2016 that ended up qualifying for the $1 a gallon biodiesel blending credit. It is nuts that U.S. taxpayers would be subsidizing Argentine imports. The biodiesel blender's credit expired. The plan around this is to bring it back as a producer's credit so that imports would not qualify. That may conflict with the WTO rules, but so be it. I think that they have a hurdle to start with to bring the biodiesel credit back at all. Then again, they were leaving big oil subsidies in the tax code in Trump's plan. RAG investors need the blender's credit reinstated, and many of them did vote for Trump. I also prefer California lemons, even if they discriminate against Iowa corn ethanol. On the hogs, the 60 new hog buildings under construction locally are being supplied by one cement company. If every cement plant in Iowa and beyond has 60 new finishing buildings to pour, there are a lot of new hogs planned to fill the kill capacity under construction. Packers and integrators are not building these new hog plants to sit idle. They may not own all the hogs that will supply them directly, but they will have them committed indirectly. Some act like this new kill capacity will be larger than the supply of hogs. My worry is that they did not build the plants big enough or will have trouble with slow startups, and numbers will back up this fall. I think that the modest farrowing intentions in the last hog report just do not square with reality. Someone forgot to tell USDA how many new facilities are under construction along with the pork plants. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. When the new pork plants now in construction were first on the drawing board, the industry was pretty sure that the TPP had a good chance of being ratified, or that the country was not on the verge, as it has turned out, of turning protectionist. Renegotiating NAFTA and the South Korean FTA put future export demand growth at risk. A whole bunch more hogs and pork coming needs all the export demand that they can discover. On the cattle, the trade has it figured out that this blow-off in the cash market is not going to last very long. Within 30 days, they will have the cattle impacted by the winter storm weight back. Cattle futures have gone into a terminal velocity upside blow-off that eventually succumbs to gravity. The upside gap in June live cattle Thursday should be an exhaustion gap, signaling topping action. The bullish draw is still the premium in the cash cattle market. Even at the day's limit up high, June live cattle were $14 under the cash market high reported this week. Until the cash breaks, the basis is still a risk to the bears. If June live cattle can consolidate here in a pause, that would suggest one more push up yet to come for the fifth wave. I like 140 in live cattle and 167 for feeders as targets. On the grains, the funds are short. What if they are right? Everybody seems to think that when they heard that the funds were short grains and soy, that meant that a big rally was at hand. Something bullish would trigger a rally and trend change. The problem is that all the balance sheets are bearish. There's no shortage of anything. Differing from a year ago, South American crops keep getting bigger, plenty able to fill demand. Hey, there have been heavy rains, but that just eliminated drought for well into summer, and the crop is going to get put in on time anyway. Corn farmers have been fulls of old crop corn, and western Kansas elevators are still full of old crop wheat. Everyone expects a seasonal weather-related rally, and this week we got one. Funds did not turn, however, instead staying short because they are right. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.